The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Hello and welcome to the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan. This week, recommendations the oil and gas tax and regulation regime needs to be overhauled. MPs call for a full public inquiry into North Sea helicopter safety, and a new emergency breathing system for aircraft is approved. First this week, the North Sea oil industry needs to be radically overhauled to make the most of the remaining resources, according to a report. Oil and Gas Expert Commission published its report Maximising the Total Value Added into the Sector's Future this week. It's warning current record levels of investment are masking a significant fall in both exploration and development investment. Melfort Campbell, who chaired the group, told my colleague Joe Odberg current expectations may need to be reassessed.
We'd be looking at what it is that needs to be done by both industry and government in order to maximise the value that we, as a national economy, UK CS, UK and Scottish economy, to maximise the value from the UK CS.
So what have the findings been of this review?
Our findings are that we simply do not value the UK CS production the way we should. Historically, it's been very much looked at as the value being generated by the tax paid by the oil companies on production profits. We now need to look at this far more broadly, at the total value generated by produced oil and gas to the wider economy.
So what kind of changes might that lead to if a different view is taken on this?
Well, I suspect one of the first ones would be a reduction in the overall tax take. If we can reduce the tax on the oil companies, therefore increase production and generate additional value through employment, works, jobs, opportunity, and indeed taxes paid elsewhere in the supply chain, then that's an option that we need to be able to understand, and so we can look at it sensibly.
Holyrood's Energy Minister Fergus Ewing says Scotland must keep its place as a world energy leader.
We asked the Commission for advice about what tax measures and regime should be introduced in order to get the best out of the 24 billion barrels of oil that remains over the next four decades or more, how to maximise recovery and how to meet the challenges the industry faces at the moment of high costs and minimal exploration. And I'm delighted that the Commissioner is led by Melfort Campbell, but with Professor Alec Kemp of Aberdeen University, an expert of international repute, have provided an excellent report, which I think all of the industry will be most interested in reading, and I think it points the right way for the future.
Malcolm Webb from Oil and Gas UK gave me their reaction.
Well, we welcome it. We think it's an intelligent and well thought through report, and we think it'll be actually helpful in helping to chart the future of our industry.
In terms of how the industry is changing, this commission's talked about it being at a critical crossroads. Is that something that the industry's been keenly aware of for the last few months?
Oh, it certainly has, yes. We are pointing to a sort of two-speed North Sea, really. Whilst we've got record levels of capital investment on some established projects going through, we have a very worrying slump in exploration. In fact, I would say an exploration crisis, and we have a significant cost challenge in the basin as well. So, yes, we are at an important crossroads, and we need to get the regulatory regime right, and we need to get the fiscal regime right. And I think this report has got a very valuable contribution on both of those.
And in terms of overhauling regulation, we are seeing the setting up of a new regulator. Do you think the response from both the Scottish and the UK governments to this commission is positive?
Yes, I'm very encouraged to see both the UK and the Scottish governments welcoming Sir Ian Wood's report and its call for a new well-resourced arm's-length regulator, and we're very pleased to see that that's moving ahead now.
MPs on Westminster's Transport Committee this week called for a full public inquiry into offshore helicopter safety. It comes after a fatal crash off Shetland last August, which was the fifth incident in as many years. This latest call comes after the CAA published its own review into safety earlier this year. Jake Malloy from the RMT union says it would go a long way to allaying workforce concerns.
Well, that's what we were looking for, and I think what it'll do is dispel any lingering concerns that may still exist about the commercial impact. Workers seem to think that where cost-cutting occurs, then that impacts on safety. It's been very, very difficult to refute that. This inquiry will go some way to addressing that issue and those concerns.
The concerns about the cost-cutting leading to saving money on safety, is there any basis in those arguments?
Well, we'd like to think no, but we don't know. That's the bottom line. That's why we welcome the inquiry support for our position, which was to have this inquiry. We feel that if we're going to be open and honest, then we need to get everything out there. And if that means looking at the commercial arrangements, the contractual arrangements, then let's get it done and dispel all the concerns, the lingering concerns, which quite clearly still exist.
Robert Patterson from Oil and Gas UK says there are already regular opportunities for the issues to be discussed.
This is an interesting thought. And of course, if the government called for a public inquiry, we would cooperate with that inquiry. I think, however, you know, there would be some benefit in perhaps having a focused inquiry into the effectiveness of the CAA, for example, because a full public inquiry is extremely expensive and time-consuming.
It is. What would the industry response be, do you think, from firms that this could drag on for potentially months if it does come to fruition?
That is the problem with a public inquiry. They do take an inordinate length of time, and actually something more modest, which cut to the chase on one or two issues, I think would be much more beneficial.
Is there a need, then, do you think, for this full branch inquiry of the whole industry as it is at the moment?
Well, I think there's been quite a number of inquiries and investigations taking place since the crash in 2013. Sorry, I'm just...
No, that's all right.
Oh, dear. I think there's been a number of investigations since the crash in August 2013. We've seen the CAA review, which has been hugely positive. There are a number of other investigations going on, like the Air Accident Investigation Branch. I think we need to wait for some of those to be completed before we can focus in on what we really need to look at in terms of an inquiry. And that's why I would suggest that something perhaps a bit more focused on one or two of the key issues that seem to be coming out of this report would be much more beneficial, much more quicker, much more incisive.
The mother of one of the men killed in the 2009 crash is welcoming the call. Audrey Wood lost son Stuart when the Super Puma came down off Aberdeen.
The workers in the offshore industry should have confidence in the area that they work, and that includes the mode of transport in getting there. And it's a shame that it actually takes an accident or an incident to happen before there is any questions or changes made. There's recommendations from the regulatory bodies, but they're only a suggestion. They are only recommendations, and they're not compulsory. Often it takes an accident or an incident before they're actually highlighted. So a review on an incident and that makes a recommendation, surely this should be a compulsory requirement.
But later in the week, Westminster's Transport Minister said the impact of a CAA review into helicopter safety needs to be considered before they could look at a full public inquiry. Stephen Hammond told the Commons there's no evidence to suggest travelling to North Sea installations is any less safe than travelling by chopper elsewhere in the UK.
The Civil Aviation Authority published its review of offshore helicopter safety on the 20th of February this year. The UK has a good helicopter safety record, and there is no evidence to suggest that travelling to oil and gas installations by helicopter is any less safe than travelling by any other helicopter operated in the UK. I would say at this stage that in terms of a full public inquiry, the CAA has conducted a thorough review. It's made important recommendations. We need to give those organisations time to take those forward, those recommendations. And we are making sure that those address the concerns of the industry.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
ConocoPhillips has achieved its first production from an appraisal well in the North Sea. The Jade field is tied back to the Judy platform, located 240 kilometres southeast of Aberdeen. Four new demonstration wind and tidal projects have been given the go-ahead. The Crown Estate's given its backing to the plans for Orkney, the Mull of Galloway, Islay and Harris. For the first time, local organisations will be playing a role in developing the approved areas. The announcement was welcomed by the Holyrood Energy Minister, Fergus Ewing. Officials in Abu Dhabi have partnered with BP to map out how the region's economic growth will affect demand in water and energy. The Emirates Regulation and Supervision Bureau will use the energy giant's technology to visualise the different levels of development and what it means for supply. Abu Dhabi has one of the highest water consumption per capita rates in the world. Scottish Government ministers this week won a legal challenge which gives the go-ahead to plans for a huge wind farm in Shetland. They won an appeal at the Court of Session over Viking Energy's plans for 103 turbines. Last October, a judge set aside planning consent, which had been granted after a judicial review by campaign group Sustainable Shetland. but it's been ruled that decision was incorrect, that ministers had given adequate consideration to wildlife and were correct to grant planning permission. An Aberdeen-based energy firm's seen its profits rise by nearly a quarter. Sparrows, which provides engineered products and services to the oil and gas industry, has also created more than 100 jobs between 2012 and this year. Turnover's up by 12% to £211.7 million. Its international sales have also risen. It was this week claimed Great Britain-wide single markets for gas and electricity should remain if Scotland votes for independence. The Commission on Energy Regulation says combined markets operate already jointly in other parts of the UK. Robert Armour, the chair of the Commission, told me more.
Well, I think there's common ground that a single energy market benefits both Scotland and England and Wales at present. And that fits with the trend across Europe for integration of markets. What you get with a single market is better security, better cost effectiveness, and a good result for consumers. So, single market makes sense.
It also looked at tackling fuel poverty. Why is it at the moment you don't think enough's being done to tackle the issue?
Well, the issue we felt needed addressed is the energy companies currently spend a lot of money trying to identify the most vulnerable customers, but they're not best placed to do it. And the public agencies who have that information aren't, I think, tied into the process. If you put the two together, you could far more efficiently get the money to address the needs to the most vulnerable customers. So that's why we thought an agency bringing together all the different groups that are working on this would make a lot of sense.
The Commission's recommendations were welcomed by First Minister Alex Salmond.
Yeah, very exciting stuff. I mean, it shows the amount of planning that's going into creating a successful energy market in an independent Scotland. I mean, we already know Scotland has huge advantages in energy. You know, we've got 60% of the European Union's oil reserves. And we also have a very substantial surplus of electricity. We can produce electricity from a range of ways, including exciting renewable opportunities. And we have a ready market south of the border where we are short of electricity, where they're in danger of the lights going out in 2 or 3 years' time. So putting forward the idea of having that common electricity market across these islands is a very sensible one. But also what excites me about the Commission's findings is proposals of how we can tackle fuel poverty in Scotland. Yes, we're a land of energy plenty, but we don't want to have fuel poverty for people amid energy plenty for the country. We've got to match and marry the natural resources of Scotland to make sure that the Scottish people benefit as well.
Although other EU countries such as Spain and Portugal share a market, Better Together leader Alistair Darling says subsidies in the UK make us a different example.
Well, the cost of fuel has gone up dramatically, and the key is to try and keep the cost down. Now, part of that is to maximise what we've got in the North Sea. Obviously, those prices are very volatile at the moment, and the strength of the UK helps even them out. Also, renewables are important, but you know they do get a massive subsidy. Nearly 30% of the subsidies come to Scotland with a 10% share of the population. So I think if we're going to get continuous supplies and at prices that people can afford, it is the strength of being part of the UK that can iron out the ups and downs of energy prices and make it more likely that we will have affordable energy supplies in the future.
It does work elsewhere in the EU between Spain and Portugal, Norway and Sweden. Why would it not work between an independent Scotland and the rest of the UK?
Because what we've got here is that we have a surcharge, if you like, on all bill payers across the whole of the UK, and nearly 30% of that subsidy comes to Scotland to subsidise its renewables. Now, can you imagine after independence any minister standing up in the House of Commons and saying that basically English and Welsh bill payers are going to subsidise the energy production in what would then be a foreign country? Remember, the rest of the UK imports rather more from the rest from continental Europe than it does from Scotland.
The Commission also recommended setting up an action group to tackle the issue of fuel poverty, regardless of which way Scotland votes in September. Oil and Gas UK this week warmly welcomed the approval of new helicopter emergency breathing systems for offshore workers. The Civil Aviation Authority certified the improved technology for use immediately on aircraft going to and from North Sea rigs. The rollout of the new equipment set for the 18th of August. Les Linklater from Step Change in Safety.
It's great news. I mean, we've obviously been working really hard as an industry on pulling this project together, and the EBS workgroup under the Helicopter Safety Steering Group has really been at the centre of this and worked collaboratively with a large number of organisations like Apito and the manufacturer to kind of deliver what we see as this great safety enhancement.
Talk us through the changes then. What enhancements are there to this that we didn't have previously with these systems?
Well, I mean, the main change is the addition of what is classed as this Category A emergency breathing system. And that emergency breathing system basically provides a passenger, in the unlikely event that they're involved in a helicopter landing on water, be it a kind of ditching or an uncontrolled landing, immediate access to a clean, dry supply of air. So it's almost, you know, it's immediately available. It's very easy to deploy. It's so simple in comparison to what we had, but it gives vital life-saving seconds.
And rounding off the week, an oil platform off Norway had to be shut down after a collision with a supply vessel. It happened early on Thursday morning at Statoil's Oseberg East field, with preparations made to evacuate workers. Don't forget, for the latest news from the energy sector, tune into our special North Sound Energy Bulletins each weekday morning during Greg's 8 Breakfast and the Robin Galloway Breakfast Show. But that's it for this week. This has been the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.